It is the pink. After Liverpool have gone to Crystal Palace and won by 3-1, I've got Fuad Hassan, I've got Steve Braves. And Steve, before the ball was kicked, if you'd actually said to me, score prediction sort of territory, I would have ended up around Liverpool win by 2, I'd have ended up around 3-1. But the nature of it, the way it plays out, is quite surprising to me. In the first place, how dominant Liverpool are for 25-30 minutes. And then in the second place, how much Liverpool end up deeply on the back foot for 35-40 minutes. Across the board, it's a really strange game of football to try to pick the bones out of.
It is. Liverpool for 20 minutes, it was brilliant. You know, probably before the second goal, they'd just taken a little bit of a step back, really. But certainly, you know, that first, in and around the first goal, you know, everything came off. Everything Curtis Jones did, everything Firmino did was perfect. Obviously, everything Andy Robertson does, touches, turns to gold. And you just think Liverpool are in a great position. You know, couldn't have asked for more in the definition of the box seat. And then weather the storm to half-time as well. You know, the sort of get into half-time thing, and you just think, well,
they almost create that for themselves, though. I think the get into half time thing's not a thing.
No,
and then Liverpool makes it
well better after half time, really, aren't they? But you know, they have a goal up to half time, but Liverpool really have invited them on with a couple of terrible passes, a couple of really poor decisions. I mean, Liverpool really, really struggled to ram home their advantage, and you know, we've seen it. It was highlighted on the Sky coverage, you know, the amount of time Liverpool have scored first in games and not won.
Yeah.
To the extent that we were going, I think there's more, and it turned out basically there's just winning positions that we've not won from. I think it's every game apart from Leicester and West Ham that I can think of that Liverpool have had been in a winning position, which, you know, would radically change the title race had they seen those through. But, you know, today they do see it through, so there's a big positive there. You know, the goalkeeper gets Liverpool out of trouble, but he is a member of the football team. You know, do you get this a lot? Oh, your goalkeeper's done this. The goalkeeper's, you know, so if it wasn't for your goalkeeper, will you pick your, you buy your goalkeeper and you pick your goalkeeper?
Yeah,
he's a member of the football team. You know, if your centre forward scores four that influence the game in the way that he maybe saves three or four that influence the game to that, then nobody goes, oh, you know. So it is, you know, it is a big part of it. Liverpool don't react to shocks particularly well, but overall they ride them out. And right now, I'll take that at the end of a great week.
Well, and that's firstly the great week throughout. It's a point worth remembering. Liverpool play Thursday night in a game where they make it look easy in the end, but there's a lot of intensity in that game against Arsenal. There's a lot of emotional energy expended in that game against Arsenal as well. You get the impression. That's worth bearing in mind. And the other thing that's worth bearing in mind is that they find themselves, suddenly things aren't working. And there's been times this season where I wanted a bit more digging in, a bit more sending it long. We'll come back and have a chat about the line, because my God, I'm going to kill people. But I want the idea of, you know, Liverpool, for me, they grab those points and they take them. And they defend them with their lives. Whatever the line is, they defend them with their lives, and that's what you get to see from the Reds.
Exactly. And you know, I don't think we can kind of discount that first 20 minutes, half an hour, because it was one of the best I've seen this season. I think it surprised everyone, maybe even the manager, because they came out so fluent and so kind of active in everything. Everyone's first touch was kind of bang on, and I sort of expected to be a little bit more cagey. So maybe they sort of threw everything at that. Maybe that was the plan, to kind of attack it really hard at the beginning, and then we do see the leftovers of Thursday night kind of kicking as the game goes on. But yeah, we've been screaming for a bit of control, haven't we, from Liverpool? And you know, it was weird on commentary, because you know, Carragher was saying that they you know, Alisson been really busy in the second half, but he made most of the saves, I think, in the first. And you know, there was that thing that you always hear from opposition managers from the, you know, the 15, 16 teams, you know, below Man City and Liverpool, that, you know, if you are going to play against Liverpool and get a result against the Liverpool side, you're going to need mistakes from them, and you're going to have to be able to capitalise on that. And Liverpool fell exactly into those hands in the first half, and kind of created their own downfall in moments. Second half, you know, yes, Palace score a goal out of their own doing and out of their own, you know, a little bit of quality, but you know, I'm sure we'll talk about the line. It was a little bit to do with that as well. But yeah, the control is a big thing. And even though it felt nervy in the second 45, it might be one of those where you watch it back and you're slightly more comfortable, just because of the fact that Liverpool, you know, did keep them at arm's length slightly, but just didn't offer too much going the other way.
On that, there is a little thing, isn't there, I think, where they're not fluent at all second half, Steve. But as Fuad says, first half they kept trying to be fluent and then the mistakes began to come. Now, it might be that they sacrificed the fluency to have fewer mistakes. Now, I think for about 45 to 60, I think there's still some mistakes in there from Liverpool. From 60 to 85, Liverpool just don't play very well, but they're not fucking up a lot.
No.
And that is at least a relief.
Yeah, it is. You know, the positives to take from that. I mean, on the high line thing, you know, they do catch them offside a lot. I think we caught Arsenal offside quite a lot as well in midweek. You know, it's one of those, the manager, his greatest strength is every time we have a personnel issue like we've had, these people go, we could go to a diamond or he could do it, and ultimately the manager's just not doing that.
No.
Yeah. And you know, ultimately what he's not doing is literally taking a backward step with that defensive line. This is how we play. This is how it frees up our fullbacks to get forward. That's what I've got Fabinho in there for. That's why with Alisson, you know, why with Alisson would you play a deep line? You know, when you've got the best goalkeeper in the world are digging you out in the way that you can again and again. So I get it. At the same time, I wouldn't have minded 10-15 minutes of you know, you were screaming for Joe Gomez throughout the game, Neil. Screaming maybe is exaggerating. You were calling for Joe Gomez.
I'm very pro Joe Gomez
pre-match, to be honest.
Yes.
And I can see that because Joe Gomez is just such an instinctive defender.
Yeah.
He's quick, he turns round.
He loves turning round.
There might just be a case that he plays a couple of games coming up, but at the same time, you know, Matip is involved in stuff in the opposition box.
Yeah.
And the other centre half scores. So, you know, it's a tough team to get into at the minute, especially with Konate there as well, if you are a centre half. But Liverpool, I think all you can say is they get through it. There's a few players there coming off where you think, I really can't remember a contribution from you in the second half, but there must have been them. There was a degree of shape, a degree of just getting in at times. It's just every time they did get in, and it seemed like they kind of fluffed their lines a little bit. But you can't underestimate the extent to which Palace put pressure on. They get fit players who love to run. You know, the fact that they can bring on Ayew and Benteke and players and Eze, you know, that's three changes. Footballers, you know, regardless of what you think about Benteke and Spelling Liverpool, they're footballers who can influence Premier League footballers.
Just on this, Steve, on Palace, for me, you know, I talked a lot before the game with a number of different people about the quality of Palace and the way in which they play the game. Even at times in the first and second half, there was, you know, on the commentary that we could hear, they were talking about them playing, the Vieira insists they play it out from the back. They want to be a football team.
Yeah.
And they would credit themselves, I thought. I really thought they were a good side today, Palace, in every area. But the one thing we love to do, we all love to run with the ball.
They do, and the playing out from the back was a huge part of what they did. Even, you know, even later on, even when they've got almost like five strikes on at some point, you know, they're still looking to play the way he wants them to play, and that's a great sign for them, because, you know, once you get through two or three transfer windows of him bringing in more of his own players, moving out some of the previous manager's players, which he's been able to do internally, and you know, you can see there he's brought down the average age and he's brought in all of these quite exciting players, you know,
really exciting players.
You just enjoy watching them. If you were a Crystal Palace fan, if you're just having to choose someone to follow, overall you'd go, you know, with Gallagher. I think Mateta's a good player. You know, Edouard. There's loads of them, and that's without Zaha. You know, they've done themselves absolutely proud today. I think they pose Liverpool all kinds of problems at times, which we all dwell on Liverpool's part in that. But you shouldn't forget the extent to which they adapt and adjust to the situation really, really well.
No, and that's why I think this is important from a Liverpool perspective, Phil. There's a chance this team ends up having a season where there's a lot of supporters like us coming away going, God, they're quite good, but they're not with many games. Why I think this matters, though, is that if that does keep happening, first and foremost, it's important you put the points on the board. We've now took six off them out of the relevant game. But the other thing is, I think what matters around this is acknowledging that our rivals will find this hard. They have took points off City this season.
Yeah.
They took points off Tottenham this season. They took points off West Ham this season. They haven't took points off Liverpool, but they're going to scare everyone. When City have got to go to their place still, I'm looking at that thinking, if they do to City what they've just done to us, I'm not saying they'll beat City. I'm not even saying that they'll hold City to a draw. But what I'm thinking is City will come away going, fuck me, we were in a game there.
Exactly. It goes back to the thing, doesn't it? That the size that necessarily a threat to City are not the same as the size that are a threat to Liverpool. That they are kind of different strengths and weaknesses in that sense. And yeah, if they put in that second half performance, you know, there's most sides. I think they've been a little bit harsh with results, and I know that doesn't matter. We can say that. It's all well and good, we don't have the points on the board. But, you know, that West Ham game, for example, I thought they were great. You know, West Ham go 2-0 up with, I mean, one crazy goal and another one after that. And, you know, you could tell throughout today as well, you know, they stayed calm even when Liverpool were on top. And it wasn't down to them being poor. Liverpool were just brilliant for the opening 20 minutes, half an hour. You know, not many sides, I think, in the country could have kept up with them. I just thought they were so direct and quick with everything that they were doing. And the quality from all areas of the pitch was just there at that point. So I think, you know, they'll take a lot of confidence for being able to come back. And, you know, it is the good thing that we are seeing with teams like that are that seems to be a bit more of a longer term commitment. You know, it looks like these are players that will take this season and the next season, you know, let's see the steps that they make forward. Yeah. And the manager as well is one where he will be learning as well. And you feel like there's a few managers in the league now where there does seem to be clubs with a little bit of a long term plan, which is refreshing because we haven't seen that in a few years.
Yeah. On what they do to us, therefore, Steve, and what the knock on effects of it are. The goalkeeper is probably Liverpool's man of the match. The way he keeps goal is just so distinct. There's the one in the first half that he saves in this way, and I know if Andy was here, the Andy Heaton that exists in my brain at all times, and trust me, that's an exhausting position to be in, is pointing out that, you know, that's his handball background, the way he saves that, that he hits it that far, that high up in the air. This, he's remarkably unorthodox in a lot of what he does, and some days that goes a bit against him. Today it goes completely for him. He is unique in what he does in goal.
Totally unique. And I mean, we saw him in peak that Liverpool have got an excellent reserve goalkeeper. Yeah. And the manager's talked about this, you know, he said, "I've got a very good one and the best in the world." And you see it again today. He's the best in the world and he's the best for us as well. You know, it's that match of styles where sometimes if you've got, say, David De Gea, I don't think his level has dropped massively in 11 years at Manchester United, maybe more, I don't know, but that kind of time, he's gone from sort of best to not that good for him to the best, because they've chopped and changed, they've had different ways of playing. Ultimately, he's just carried on being a pretty good traditional shot-stopping goalkeeper. Alisson, he's just perfectly adapted to what Liverpool want to do. You forget really when Liverpool pay the world record fee for him, it's really off the back of one season at Roma. It's really off the back of seeing, and I remember, and you know, this is one of those where you just look like an idiot. I mean, when we play Roma, and you think, I'm not so sure, really.
Yeah. He's been chipped on the edge of the box.
Yeah, maybe we just stick with Mini. But you just see this, like, what Liverpool recognise in him is what they've recognised in Diogo Jota, which is, this might not be the player who is just brilliant for everyone all of the time, but he's brilliant for us. And, you know, I think Venn has transcended that to be the best in the world, and I think he is. But right now, it just couldn't be better fitted to exactly what we do, exactly what we need. And we needed it today. We did need him. But as I say, he's a part of the team. You're allowed to sometimes rely on your goalkeeper. You're allowed to need them.
Feel like, as you know, this is probably the most handsome Anfield rap show in history. Between me, you and Steve, it doesn't get better than this, I think it's fair to say. The other thing about him is he just looks fantastic. He's doing all this stuff, and when his hair grows out, on a really basic level, his hair grows out, his beard shaggy, I'm watching him do all of this, I'm just like, my god, he's dressed in black from head to toe. He's like, you know, in my mind tonight, he'll be the last thing I think of before I go to sleep, and he'll be the first thing I think of when I wake up.
Honestly, I turned to you, Stephen, and he looked a bit rough when he came on the pitch. Just the hair looked not as neat as it normally is.
Over the game.
Over the game came back. So you were covered in every sense throughout. But yeah, I mean, I think Ben said it in the pub, and he's like a bear, isn't he?
He's like a bear.
Not just in terms of his presence, but just how he plays as well. The saves in there today that quietly not many keepers in the world would make. I mean, the one for the back.
They wouldn't even try and make them. That's really weird. No. The back heel's a really good example of that. He's gone. This fella's going to try and back heel this. When he does it, you can only put it this way. I am already falling to fall on this ball. It's mad.
Exactly. And even the one when he gets rounded, you know, most keepers sort of give up on that a little bit because they've been beaten, and you sort of hope your defender's on the line. But he somehow gets you know, some part of his body out there. There's one that's offside as well, where he just sort of palms up.
Yeah.
And again, the instincts, you know, most goalkeepers at the kind of top level, Premier League level, they all have extremely good instincts, and there's the little fine details that kind of differentiate them. But he feels like he's elite in every department, and you know, we're really lucky to have him. And this new kind of wave of goalkeeping that seems to be happening at Liverpool, you know, you wouldn't be surprised if it's something that catches on, because obviously not many teams can play that style, but there's clearly something different happening in the club.
He does Chamberlain on 58. The Chamberlain goal, he has one at the side net and just before, and then there's the goal he scores where he absolutely slams it past the goalkeeper, Steve. And I'll say it again, you know, Chamberlain was never going to be Mo Salah, but he's at least been a Stars in Your Eyes version, and you can't ask for any more or less than that.
He scored 2-2, you know, you could not ask for more. I think the idea of him doing 90 at the minute is unlikely. You know, Liverpool kind of priced that in. But in the 58 or whatever it is that he plays, I think he does really well. There's a point at which he wins a header, and I said to you, I literally was about to say that I wasn't sure if it was a centre half who'd headed it, because he slotted in.
Yeah,
and suddenly oh,
that's a halfway line. Yeah, another one. Yeah,
where for not the biggest player on the pitch, he's just stood up and done well. And look, this could be his last season. Look, you know, we're all prepared to accept that that's probably the case, but he's had a really good Liverpool career, and it's really nice that he's having this little spell where he's been called upon, and he's been called upon, and
he stood up
and takes his chance really well, just as he did last week. You know, these brilliant footballers, these brilliant creators, great chances for you if you play in Liverpool's front three, and he's really good at taking them. I think you could not rule out, you know, when you look at all these competitions to come up, that he's going to have a big say in something somewhere. There'll be a goal somewhere in a knockout game, in a race towards the title, where he has a role just as much as you imagine. If not really, he might have a role. That something will come up for him. But he could not have shown more for Liverpool in the last couple of games. Really pleased with, just pleased for him, because, you know, he's bought into everything about the club. You know, he seems to be the first one doing every video, everything that's fun. I think he's been a big part, I think, in taking us from maybe that 2017 team that was good, was getting there, to just, he's injected something, I think, of personality that you can feel it, you know, when he was injured around the final, that time when you just feel like he's been a big part of that dressing room atmosphere, the training ground atmosphere, that the managers wanted to create, or didn't even necessarily set out to create, but has seen grow organically, and his teammates love him, and he probably deserves a bit more love from everyone else at times.
I think it's really great as well that he had that injury, didn't he, after the game, and it feels like every time with Chamberlain he gets injured just at the wrong time, and
everyone
it feels
on
like
the ground at Brentford went, we'll see him now
exactly
for X weeks,
exactly,
well, there you go.
And all not just the fact that it wasn't, it didn't turn out to be a big deal, the fact that he gets selected as soon as he's back,
yeah,
it always feels like it takes a few weeks even after he's fit and he's in the squad, doesn't get on, he's on the bench this time. You know, I know we don't have all the options necessarily, and you know, he is needed, but for him it'll do him a lot of good that he can kind of look at the manager and be like, well, he's, you know, as soon as I've come back, I'm straight back in this team, and that's my value, that's my importance.
And as for this break, you know, he gets to it's the cup game, so a pretty decent chance to start on that one, and then to stake a claim to play centre mid, at least, you know, it's
exactly
to be in and around still, you know, when Salah and Mane are back, it's by no means, oh, you're just in now for a little bit, you know, he couldn't have made a better case to be the player that the manager wants, which I think is someone who can be the fourth threat if the front three can't deliver for us on any given day, like someone in midfield. I mean, Thiago was becoming that, I think, as well, who's really got the goal in them, which, you know, Milner, Fabinho, Henderson, I get the reservations around that midfield, and I think if you can find a midfield where you can just have that in there, then well, that's what he's.
We've got 20 minutes left from Jones, 25 minutes, 30 minutes left from
Knopfler as well.
Yeah. Terrific good time, Steve. Well, I want to sort of talk about that, because I don't do everyone, because I'm not least going to put a took my something tomorrow on the Monday show. But I want to talk briefly about Jota.
Yeah.
And the really strange thing about Jota is how he imposes himself. In that, the number of times I watch him, I think, well, he's not that big, and he's not that quick, and he's not that powerful, and yet when he needs to be quick, I feel like he's quick. When he needs to be big, I feel like he grows. I mean, I feel like he's powerful. I feel like he's got shoulders that whip to these doors in front of us. Do you know what I mean? It's a really weird thing. He's almost a shapeshifter of a footballer, and Palace treats him accordingly.
Yeah, he's not that player you can just continue to hit and, you know, get the same result. But in the moment, I don't think this is a better player for Liverpool at the minute, you know, in interpreting what's going on. I really enjoyed... There's a moment, I think it's at 2-1 where he's just having a massive row with the fourth official, and I don't even know what he's pointing out to him. He's involved, and he's acting on Liverpool's behalf at all times. I'm very good with that.
Great ambassador.
Yeah, very much so. And this is not his most amazing performance, but you know, early on he nearly gets in, and late on he nearly gets in.
And he wins the pen.
One wins the penalty. Yeah. That's what I mean. He's still showing, you know, late in the game. I think there's a temptation to feel like if he's not quite on it, and when he hasn't scored, literally maybe you get him off on 70. But in a way that you don't think that about maybe Salah or Mane. Well, the manager thinks that a lot more about Salah than you would think, because he does come off quite often. Jota today, you just backed the idea that he was going to be involved in something at some point at the business end of the football match, and he was.
Do you think it was a pen?
Of course.
I'll let you go first, Phil.
It's a weird one, isn't it, because there's so many different little things at play there. I mean, the keeper has made the decision to come out, and I think as soon as you make that decision, you don't get there, that there's going to be question marks. I don't think he's getting the ball, and I think that's the thing that looked like the VAR were kind of looking at really in depth. And I think even if he does get the ball, it's not like he's through on goal. He is basically at the byline.
So what? If he gets the ball, he scores, I think, because he'll magic something up. If he's on the byline on his own, I think he'll just.
Steve, my thing on it, Steve, is often when it took. So I always remember there was a penalty around 2003 at Goodison, where Unsworth just pushes El Hadji Diouf over, and Diouf's nowhere near the ball, and it's all a bit weird, and the ref gives a pen. And I always remember that pen, and that one of the things I sort of said afterwards, and I still maintain this principle, just because it's bloody stupid doesn't mean it's not a penalty.
Yeah.
And in this instance, I wonder if that's sort of where the video assistant, because to be fair, clear about this, the video assistant referee's got to think it's clear and obvious to refer the referee to. He's got to think it's a clear and obvious error. And if the video assistant referee sort of concludes what the goalkeeper's done is bloody stupid, and therefore I'm going to end up saying I think this might be a penalty. And the more they showed it, at first I was like, I'll call for anything in a Liverpool shirt. And then I was like, oh no. And then the more they showed, the thing I just sort of thought, I was looking at as it grew and grew and grew, was he's bloody stupid, the keeper. What's he doing with his hands, for one thing? You know what I mean? He does everything he can do to say to the video assistant referee or the referee, you might want to give this.
I think he slides across, so the contact is obviously initiated by him. What I'd say is that I think Jota's touch is based on the fact that the goalkeeper's coming across. So you could make an argument that Jota's...
So you've got to impede.
Jota's alternative touch might be a better one if the goalkeeper has stayed on his line and isn't coming out to essentially to foul him. I think it becomes a VAR question, and you know, for me, if VAR is there to correct sort of clear and obvious errors, no one seems to know exactly what it's for at the minute. Is it to go to fine detail? Is that right or wrong? I think if you go to very fine detail, I think it's probably a penalty. But then that opens up a sort of issue around the fact that the referee doesn't give it on the pitch. So, you know, do you need a more of a cricket style, umpire's call version of that? But then the umpire, you know, he is invited to go and look at it. And this, for me, the biggest thing is, if you're invited to go look at it, it should be on the basis that have a look at it, rather than literally just...
I'm telling you,
your mind's been made up by Craig Pawson on the
phone. Which is what you want to say.
On the phone, yeah. But anyway, I mean, I don't care.
No. And it's a good penalty as well.
Yeah, the penalty is given. Fabinho takes another good penalty. It's great to have three of them now, who are interchangeable. I think, you know, there's been times when you go and you're looking at a team that starts and go, well, and, you know, unless it's X, Y, or Z, then we're not going to have someone who could take one. I think we've now got three and a couple of others that you'd probably back as well. So anyway, broadly speaking, I think it's... I, can see why it's ultimately given, but I'd have been much more happy in seeing why it's given if it's given in real time, I think. And I'm overall a fan of AR. I think it's right that we have something that picks out, that is there as a last resort in terms of what is it, you know, to picking out bad decisions that get made. I'm not sure it was particularly well applied today, but having said that, I do think I talked myself into it along with you.
The angles change things, didn't they? The different angles that they showed, and I know that that's every incident, but felt even more so with this. I don't think anyone, though, you know, in the first replay you see, none of us really thought it was an instinctively, did we? It's just only when you sort of, when it gets slowed down, when it gets moved around, and I think that's where the issue comes. If it goes against you, don't get me wrong, you're fuming with that, I think.
Of course, we'd be.
But that's the nature of it.
It was 2-2 off the back of Palace getting the penalty. We'd be having a different conversation. You've got to sort of accept that to a certain extent. Mm. But also accept that professionals have had a look at it, you know, and made their decision, and made a decision that I can understand.
Yeah.
I could understand it either way.
The key word that will be used, I will warn you now, listen, in the next 24 hours, is going to be the word impediment. There's one of the things here in this that if, for instance, if a player was to lie down and stick his leg up and make another player hurdle it, and if he hurdled it inaccurately or it impeded him, it would then...
Gerrard at Sheffield United is the one that I always remember we got given, because there was the idea that the defender was about to foul, so Gerrard leaps over him in order to... And then wins a penalty by virtue of that. And that's where we're at, I think, with that. And I think it probably is right. You know, Jota's decision is influenced by the fact that
this film's about to be an impediment.
About to take him out.
Yeah,
which is what, you know, and which he sort of does. It's just the fact that the ball is running out of play influences everyone's decision. But
there we are. Just out of interest, I normally don't ask this sort of thing. Man of the match.
I mean, I can't believe that it's not Andy Robertson, to a certain extent, because you know, sometime before half time, I was thinking, well, that's a bit cut and dried, really, isn't it?
It is Alisson,
but then Andy Robertson is the difference maker in terms of literally whether Liverpool put the ball in the net. No, it's Alisson.
Andy Robertson shouts.
There should always be one for each mad phase of the game, shouldn't there? Because it changes.
So first 13, Andy Robertson.
Yeah, that's how Carragher should have done
it. In on late lines for the assist.
I think Robertson is a great shout. You know, Curtis Jones was great, I thought. I thought some of the pressing as well was brilliant.
Yeah.
There were moments where he sort of, in almost that Robertson from 17-18 style, you know, dragged the team.
He does two of them, yeah.
He does two of them right down to the keeper and does win a throw-in or a free kick from it. So I thought he was great. And it's another step in, another example of the maturity that we've seen from him.
Marvellous Fulacast on Steve Graves, Neil Atkinson, that's your pink. Great week for Liverpool, terrible, terrible week for Leighton Baines.
There's about 93 and a half minutes gone in the away and about 2.5 minutes of injury time left. Looks like Liverpool are going to win this 3-1. Second half has been very, very difficult, though, if we're being honest, hasn't it? We were Crystal Palace turned on like a different team second half, but you can't take away what that first half was. We were absolutely superb. The second goal is an absolute thing of beauty. The quick one-touch passing. It also helps when Liverpool make it very easy for themselves by scoring a set piece inside the first 10 minutes. When you can do that kind of thing, the other team bang up against it because they're supposed to be the leveller. And Liverpool create that chance, take it, and look like coming away with 3 points. It was a hard second half. Diego Jota's just on the break here. He's played Henderson in, played it back to Jota. Jota is moving forward with it, and he's just given quite sensibly back. And Benteke, they're Crystal Palace are breaking. There is possibly about a minute left now, minute and a half or so. We all saw Tottenham do this the other night, but it's going to be very difficult for Liverpool to not win from here. And to be honest, if we don't, you'll never hear this anyway. So, Crystal Palace free kick. It's a good away end. Everyone's into this. The second half, as I say, has been very, very difficult. Crystal Palace, very good. They look like they'll cause teams a lot of problems, and we've managed to come away from this. And 3 points. The AFCON was supposed to be the time where Liverpool struggled. We've taken 6 points, won in the FA Cup, got through to the League Cup final. Now everyone's back. Everyone bar three lads are getting a little 2 week holiday now, and we got Cardiff 2 weeks on Sunday, Leicester, and ultimately Manchester City were coming for you.